You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Friday Pronk Pop Show. I'm your host, Raymond Thomas Pronk. Today will be, unfortunately, a short show. I was catching up in post-production effort. I had two past shows that were not up, and I did most of the day. That's what I was doing. So it took me a lot of time. I had to do not only the post, my notes material, as well as the post-production editing, which I largely delete just dead air, so there's not much editing, but I still have to listen to the entire. So I had over shows, which was over 2 hours, so it was a lot of material to edit, and it's usually two times two because it takes about twice as long to sign up. That's my rule of thumb. So I wanted to give you background at least as to why it won't be an hour show, and this is rather late. It's after 9:30. Actually, it's around 9:45. Normally, this show is from 4 to 5, but this is the first day that we're putting the newspaper to bed. I've been told we have about 15 minutes, maybe 30 max. They're about ready to be done, and that's actually very, very good because I've seen it go to 11, 11:30, and this is the first time I've started this late. I usually start about between 4 and 6 on a Friday and do a solid hour, sometimes 2 hours. I want to touch upon a news story. It's been in the news. It woke me up when I turned on the radio. It was in the news, and it was something new. And that's what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, unless you've been in a cave, you probably know that a police officer shot a black teenager. Now, what broke today in the news, and I was listening to the press conference of the police chief, as well as some of the news stories, apparently there were videos of a convenience store where Michael Brown went in prior to being shot, where he robbed or shoplifted a box of cigars. He was confronted by the owner or the manager. I don't know who the person was, but the person was significantly shorter than him because Michael Brown is very large. Some stations were calling him the gentle giant. His mother said, well, he graduated from high school and was going to go to college in the fall. Well, there's a problem. He was robbing, and there's a video of this, and I urge you to look at the video. It is Michael Brown stealing cigars with the help of the individual with them, reaches across the counter, takes it, then behind his back gives it to his friend, and leaves the store, and as he's leaving the store, the owner apparently caught him, most likely looking at a monitor what he did, and confronted him, and then Michael Brown manhandled him. So what did he do? He was guilty of robbery or shoplifting, as well as battery, roughing up the owner of the store. Then him and his buddy proceed down the street, the middle of the street, not the sidewalks. Now, I would have hoped, as his parents taught him, he shouldn't steal. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not assault people. And there's a sidewalk that you're supposed to walk on. It's rather ludicrous to walk down the middle of a street that cars go either way. It's apparent to me that Michael Brown had an attitude. Now, I don't have an opinion one way or the other whether or not the police officer was justified or not in shooting him. We don't know all the information. We don't know all the details. And that will, I think, come out as a result of investigation. and if necessary, a trial. Now, I will say this. From every report, he was unarmed, and some eyewitnesses say he raised his hand and he was running away. Given that's the situation, the cop was not justified in using deadly force to shoot him. It was a terrible miscalculation or error in judgment on his part. Now, it was an officer that has served a total of 6 years in two departments, had no complaints against them, disciplinary action. But I will say this, from the little I know, the officer's in trouble. Now, earlier counts, and this is all hearsay, is Michael Brown grappled with the gun before he took off. Now, if he did that, that's another crime. Doesn't necessarily deserve being shot. But if he was shot in the back running away, and he was 35 feet from the police car, that still looks bad for the police officer. It's the misuse of deadly force. Now, initially, and this is the problem with all these early reports, there was a struggle for the police officer's gun in the car. Now, for the life of me, I could not understand why, if a police officer put a suspect in a car, he would get in a back seat with him. That doesn't make sense to me. So until we really hear the police officer's side, as well as what eyewitnesses say, and not his necessarily his buddy, don't make a judgment. And that's about what I'm going to say on the Ferguson case. I will not prejudge it. I will not get excited about it. But there's something else that's not being said, and it's almost never said. And I reacquainted myself just before the show. I didn't memorize these numbers, and I didn't post them. The FBI has crime statistics, and these are of reported crimes, not arrest, of reported crimes, of the victims of homicides. And this is a homicide. Someone is dead. Now, whether it was justified homicide, that's for a court to decide, and that's for an investigation to decide. And just an aside, the initial reports were that the police officer that shot Michael Brown was aware that he was looking for suspects that robbed and manhandled the owner of the store. That report was false. And the police chief said that at the press conference, that this police officer was coming from another call when he saw these two teenagers walking in the middle of the road and told them to go to the sidewalk, and they ignored the officer. At that point, the officer got out of his car and talked to, and there were words that were exchanged. And at some point, Michael Brown ran away. Now, if he was running away from the police officer, then the police officer simply was not justified in firing that weapon. Now, if he wasn't running away, if he was charging the officer, then the police officer is justified in using his weapon or deadly force. And you got to keep in mind, people can cover a lot of ground in a fraction of a second. But the two things that have been played over and over again, the person was unarmed. Well, excuse me, this teenager is not your typical teenager in the sense that he's fairly tall, he's fairly husky, muscular. And I don't even know the size of the police officer. He does have weapons. It's called his hands, his body. So if you're a police officer and carrying a weapon and someone is attacking you and you're in fear of your life, yes, the police officer would be justified. But if that's not the case and the person is running away and is shot, then that's not justifiable homicide. And it's probably homicide on the part of the police. Now, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a police officer. And that's about the extent of my knowledge, except the fact there was a lot of rioting and looting on the following nights. Gas station convenience store was robbed and burned down. That's unexcusable, too. Now, what's not being talked about? What is not being talked about? And that is the crime statistics. If you look at homicides, and let's treat this as a homicide for a minute, and the most recent statistics are for 2011, and there were over 12,600 homicides. Now, of those 12,000, over 600, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but you can go to the FBI Crime Statistics webpage, and this is Table 1, What is the race of the victims of homicides? Now, what pops out at you is, and we're talking victims here, and Michael Brown is a victim. Over 6,300 of those homicides were blacks, predominantly males. A little under 1,000 were females. Over 5,000 were males, black males. In other words, two things. More than half of all homicide victims are black. The black population, last time I checked, was about 12 to 13% of the entire population of the United States. In other words, roughly somewhere between 3 to 4 times more than their proportion of the population of homicides, the victims are black. The number of white victims was under 6,000. I think it was about 5,800. But here's the punchline, and here is what's not discussed and not examined by the media. Over 90% of black, where blacks are the victims, the person perpetuating the crime is another black. Now, that's not unusual. But when we're talking homicides, that means over 90% of the person doing the crime is a black. And homicide is obviously the most severe violent crime. But this is all crime, rape, assault. What's not being discussed throughout the United States is the fact that the victims of crime, namely blacks, are being assaulted, murdered, raped by who? Other blacks. You see, what's unusual is the Michael Brown situation, where someone of an other race, in this case white, kills a black. The overwhelming majority, namely over 90%, it's normally a black killing a black. In many cases, it's someone that the victim knows, a family member or friend or acquaintance. And see, the media doesn't cover that, because every day, including today, there are black victims being killed, being raped, being robbed, being beaten, primarily by other blacks. And that is the story that the media simply does not cover. That is the true scandal. They devote all these resources, all the major networks, and it's on the talk shows, it's on the news, it's in the papers. And I'm not saying they shouldn't cover it, but the most disturbing problem is the fact that the media, both television, radio, print media, simply could care less about black-on-black crime. They don't even send reporters out to cover it. It's only when you have a somewhat sensational crime where someone of another race kills someone, in this case of a white police officer killing a black teenager, that suddenly the media descends and it becomes somewhat of a zoo. And I was hearing some of the phrases. I don't watch television, and the only exception is when I'm in the newsroom and I'm really not watching it. I might turn around occasionally if there's a breaking news story. But what I was hearing on the news, they were calling Michael Brown the gentle giant. Well, he is big. I will say this. He's a big fella. I don't know what his height is. He looks about 6'3", 6'4". He's muscular. He would intimidate me if I ran into him. And again, I don't know this police officer. I don't know his height. I don't know his build. But this is a teenager that can and would be intimidating to, I think, anybody. That does just justify the police officer killing him. But we should suspend judgment until the entire facts of the case are out. Because up until the disclosure of the videos, and the reason the police chief gave was they had many Freedom of Information requests for videos relating to this crime. And it was clear that the police officer, again, reading between the lines, the police chief, was ordered to release it. And he did. And there you see Michael Brown stealing, assaulting the owner or manager of this store. Does that justify homicide? No, it does not. Certainly does not. You don't get killed. You should not get killed unless you're armed and threaten to use your weapons. But remember, some of his weapons is his body and his hands, because Michael Brown was using his hands and his body on that person, probably the convenience store owner or manager, roughing him up. That's a crime. And I suspect, and this is speculation on my part, if this was normal behavior, I'm willing to bet there's probably a record, and if it's a teenager, it might be sealed, that this isn't the first time this behavior has been going on. Because in less than an hour, this gentleman, this teenager, committed three crimes. Unfortunately for him, he got killed for the last one. Now, I don't think you should be killed for jaywalking in the middle of the street. I think you should be arrested. It is a misdemeanor. Not only are you endangering yourself, you're endangering people driving on either side. Apparently, Michael Brown had an attitude, and his attitude probably killed him. It's generally wise counsel if you're ever stopped by a police officer, a cop, if you prefer, I prefer police officer, to be respectful. Now, I'll be the first to tell you there's some very excellent cops. I'm respectable to all of them, but I've on occasion had some problems with cops. But I wait till we get into court, and it's for traffic, potential traffic violations. And that's the way to handle it. It's not to react. Say, yes, sir, no, sir. If he wants your driver's license, you give him your driver's license. If he wants your insurance, you give him your insurance. You know, I was thinking one time I was driving to Richland College, and there were two red lights, full stop, stop, cross the bridge, and this cop turns on his blue and pink lights. And I'm wondering, what in the world did I do? I didn't have a clue. I was way under the speed limit. And I was going to get out of the car, and he says, please stay in the car. Okay, I sat back down. I gave him my license. I gave him my insurance. And let me tell you what and I was rather upset with this gentleman. He just was trying to write tickets, and he said, well, you didn't have your seatbelt on. And I said, excuse me, to get out of the car, I unbuckled it. He still gave me the ticket. That's a bad cop, as far as I'm concerned. That's lack of supervision. And I observed him going up and down the street that I was heading, writing tickets. That's all he was doing. And it wasn't too many, it was several months later, that there was a scandal in this department regarding what was going on. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But the point is, you don't lose your cool. You show respect to authority, even if you think what's going on is a lousy deal. Now, after saying that, the bigger story here is the lack of coverage by the media, both the newspapers as well as the television networks, of crimes in neighborhoods where it's primarily black. I live in a neighborhood that is, I would say, mixed, but predominantly black. It's close by, it's convenient, and I'm not going to stay there too much longer. But it's heavily patrolled by police officers, and I'll tell you why they do that. They primarily are writing speeding tickets for people on the highway, and invariably what happens, the person on the highway pulls out of the highway, goes on the access road, and turns in. I've seen this literally dozens of times, and as a result, and they're continually doing it. It's a high-ticket area. It's a zone. If you're coming into Dallas on 635, you better watch the speed limit, because what they routinely do is have four, five, six cars, police officers, just waiting. And if you're speeding, the car goes after you, and then it turns on the street where I'm going home on. And it's morning, noon, and night. I'll tell you, I can't even think of a time either coming or going to Richland College that I did not see one or more patrol cars. Now, I talked to somebody else that knows this community a lot better. He says, Ray, the problem is there's drugs and there's crime, and you're not in the center of it, but you're on the border, so it's a highly patrolled area. It's more than just speeding tickets. But the majority of what I've seen, it is they're pulling over people for traffic violation. Either they don't have a current inspection ticket, inspection sticker, or current registration, something's wrong with the car, or they were speeding on the highway. As long as you're respectful, you shouldn't have a problem. You might get a ticket, and if you think it's wrong, take it to court. But it's not justified for a cop to kill someone, even if he's big, even if he has committed a crime. That's not relevant to the fact situation of the pullover. And it will turn on whether the police officer was threatened. I don't want to judge that. But what I will judge is the simple lack of coverage in every major city across this country of black-on-black violence, and the fact that there's not enough blacks, community leaders, demanding a discussion of that. Yeah, we have bad cops, and occasionally one will do something like this. But there were over 6,000 homicides in 2011, the most recent statistics, and 90% of them, over 90% of them, it was blacks on blacks. The problem is young black men being violent to blacks who are the victims. Other young, law-abiding blacks, as well as older, being shot, being beaten. That's the scandal. The total lack of putting a bright spotlight on a serious problem, and where more than half of the homicides, where blacks are the victim, they need to be investigated. This needs to be aired. There needs to be a national conversation, and there isn't. Now, I'll speculate as to why. This is something that President Obama, as well as Eric Holder, his attorney general, simply does not want discussed. And it should be discussed. And it's not just homicides. It's rape. It's assault. It's battery. It's robbery. And where overwhelmingly the victims are black. The numbers bounce around from every year, but it's over 90%. That's the bad news. The good news is crime is down across the nation. It's still way too high, but crime has gradually, in most categories, in most cities, has been going down. That's the good news. But it's simply disproportionate in terms of the crime in the black communities that simply is ignored. It's totally ignored. What's not ignored is where a white police officer kills a black, no matter what the age is. Then you have a feeding frenzy on the part of the national media. And it's definitely in talk radio. And I avoided it until today. I finally got caught up. I saw my first coverage of it on television this afternoon and did a little research. But it's the bigger picture that continually gets lost. It's always, if it's someone of another race and it's a black, it gets covered. And just ask yourself, how many black victims of crimes have there been today and tomorrow? You'll never hear it on the national news. Unless it's really serious, you'll probably never hear it on your local news. But it's going on. And it's beyond being underreported. It almost never is reported. Now, you need to understand, most newspapers have drastically, over the last 10 years, cut staff. And that's one of the reasons. They don't have the people to go out and cover it. So there is some extenuating circumstances. But just, I'm willing to bet that a good portion of your nightly news today, both national and local, will be of this case in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, Dallas has crime. I don't think you're going to see much of, and there's crimes in neighborhoods that are predominantly black. I bet you will hear and see either nothing or very little. But you will see a lot of coverage of what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, that I will say on the face of it doesn't seem justified at all. But I'm not going to judge that. I'm not going to be on that jury. And we haven't seen or heard all the evidence. And a lot of the media's hype of this, you could see them sort of like deflating once they saw that video. Because, yeah, the police chief followed probably the district attorney's instructions that he had to release it because they had some Freedom of Information requests for the video. Doesn't mean he's released all the evidence. He hasn't, and he said it. And they won't until the investigation is over. They've written a report. And frankly, I think it'll be until after the trial is over, if there is a trial. And I believe the FBI is involved. Because I've listened to one of the parents, there was a press conference of the parents of Michael. It was the attorney, but the family was there. And the attorney said, yes, they have been interviewed. So the federal FBI is on the case, if you will. But who's on the case of the media not doing their job? And I understand there are extenuating circumstances. But it needs to be talked about, and it's not. And that's why I'm using this as an opportunity to really step back and say it's about time the media look at the black victims of crime. And there are many of them, innocent, law-abiding blacks that are victims, unfortunately, of other blacks that have committed the crime. Occasionally, it'll be an Hispanic or white, but that's the exception. The rule is it's black-on-black crime. And that simply is not being talked about, and it should be talked about. And I wish the national television networks, the people that have some resources, have some time, would do that. And it would really help the black community because they're the ones that are getting hurt. They know this. What I'm saying, they already know. They might not know the statistics. I look at the statistics. Anyone can look at it online. Just go to the FBI website. I was hoping they had the 2012 statistics. For some reason, there's a lag. I don't know why. But the numbers have been more or less following that pattern. And what is also disturbing is the sheer, especially in the homicide category, that why blacks are about 13% of the population, over 50% of the victims are blacks. Yeah, whites committed a lot of homicides, but they're, what, 70, 75% of the population? I would expect that. I was expecting more whites to be the victim because most crime is same race. Because it's usually a friend, a family member, an acquaintance. I want to wish you a good weekend, a safe weekend. And I'll be back next Monday at 4 o'clock at the regular time to present a show. And I have no idea what it will be because I present my views, my opinions, my comments on breaking news stories, such as the story in Ferguson. And I deliberately waited today until we had more information. I'm glad I did. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own unless otherwise stated and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. Good evening.